Well, the question this morning is from Jesus, what do you want me to do for you? It's the question Jesus asked James and John. It's the question he will ask a man today, a blind man who we're going to meet in our story. And we really come to a very precious story. So turn with me to the Gospel of Mark. In Mark chapter 10, as we bring chapter 10 to a close. It's a precious story of the healing of a blind man. I was thinking this morning, I can just read it and that's all I need to do. There's really not a lot to be said than just to read the text, but preach it I will. And it's Mark's last record in his story, in his gospel, of a healing of Jesus. From here on out, it will be a different focus, and that will be on the suffering and the death of Christ. And Jesus came not only in word, but in power. And he's demonstrated himself to be the Messiah and the Son of God. You know the identity of him according to chapter 1, verse 1. He is not only the Messiah, he is the very Son of God himself. Everyone else in the gospel is trying to figure out who he is. He has demonstrated power over creation, calming the wind and the waves, multiplying the fish and the bread. He has demonstrated power over the angelic realm, casting out powerful fallen angels with his word. He has demonstrated power over sickness and even over death itself. He's healed a paralytic who, after immediately being healed, picked up his bed and went home. He healed a man with a withered hand, whose hand was restored immediately. He healed a woman with a seven-year condition, which was incurable by doctors. He raised Jairus' daughter to life. He healed the sick so much, it says in Mark, that they had to lay the sick in the marketplaces, but they did so just so that they could touch the fringe of his cloak, that they might be healed. He healed a deaf man with his spit and his touch. And here we find the last account, he heals a blind man at Jericho, where the first one was a blind man at Bethsaida. So we have a beautiful, detailed story for us by Mark. Again, Peter's testimony. Peter was an eyewitness to this. And this is the second healing of a blind man that Mark presents to us in his gospel. It is placed intentionally here. The first record of a healing of a blind man was the beginning of the second middle section of Mark. And the healing of this blind man at Jericho is, in a sense, the other bookend that ends this middle section of the Gospel of Mark. Interesting that Mark places the two blind men in this section, beginning and ending the middle section. A section where Jesus predicts his death and resurrection, and where Jesus is discipling his disciples who are unable to see who he really is, and why he came. I think Mark is intending to tell us something here. The disciples are blind. They're blind to who Jesus is. Let us not remain blind to who he is, who he claims to be, and what he came to do. And so these two healings serve as bookends for the middle section of the gospel, and we end with the healing of blind Bartimaeus, as you probably have heard of him before, who is able to get the attention of Jesus the Messiah. So let us see with our eyes, if you can see, five notable characteristics of blind Bartimaeus this morning from a touching story and miracle account. Let us first see this. He, blind Bartimaeus, is a marginalized man. He is a marginalized man. Let's read the first verse, verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples, and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. I think Mark here says the son of Timaeus because he's defining Bartimaeus, Bar being son, because the audience to the gospel are Gentiles in Rome. So they don't always understand the Hebrew way of words and terms and names. But here we meet Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, sitting by the roadside. So Mark records Jesus and the 12 continue their journey south. You learn a little bit of geography as you go. They are now entering, and they're going to leave here, Jericho. And Jericho, I'm sure you're familiar with from the Old Testament, a city conquered by the Hebrews. They have done excavations in Jericho. If you ever get to go to Israel, go to Jericho. Interesting place, but there's not much around Jericho because it's in the Negev, which is the southern part of Israel, and it's just desert. There you find places like the Judean wilderness and the Dead Sea. It's dry and it's rocks. But there you find Jericho. But it's on the way to Jerusalem. Jesus and the 12 journey south to Jerusalem, and they arrive at this famous city where we meet this man, blind Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus. It's just a name we're used to. We're used to adding blind on because that's just who he is. That's what he's known for. He's known for his blindness. It kind of rolls off the tongue, blind Bartimaeus. So familiar to us, it's hard to think of him without being blind. He was known for one thing in his life, the inability to see. And it really defined his entire life. Because of his condition, he was an outcast in society. People saw blind Bartimaeus as good for nothing. He was the kind of guy that was useless for society. He gave nothing back to the community. Mark records, notice, he was sitting by the roadside. That's what he did. That's what being blind then would lead you to do, to sit by the roadside every day and to beg for money. He may have been born blind. We're not sure exactly the history here. Some were born blind. Some lost their sight at a young age as a child. There was little medical attention, certainly little medical advancement then. I think I would assume here he was born blind. What's worse, to have never seen or to have seen and lost your sight? I don't know. Either way, he is a marginalized man in the world. Some of you recently have told me you lost your sense of taste. To lose a sense is a big deal. It's somewhat startling. But imagine not having the sense of sight, not have never seen the blue sky above you, the green grass, unable to see the glories of creation. It's hard to imagine. This is his world, though. This is the limitation he experiences. And on top of that, the limitation of what he can do in society, how people view him, what they think of him as an outcast. His blindness has led him to a life of begging. Mark records this, a blind beggar. That was what was credited to his name. That was it. A blind beggar sitting by the roadside every single day. You may have felt limited at times this past year, but you probably have not been this limited in your life. Living on the help of others. If others would be compassionate enough to at least even notice you as they travel through the gate and to be compassionate enough to give you something, he would, though, as other blind people or as the crippled, would sit strategically at a city gate, either the entrance or the exit there of the city, because that's where the most people were. That's the flow of traffic where you most likely would be recognized. People would see you and hopefully feel enough compassion to help. Blind Bartimaeus, sitting by the roadside, the limitation, the monotony of his life, the loneliness, I'm sure the hopelessness. Nothing will ever change. Nothing will change in my life. This is the way I am. I'm sure there was more to know about blind Bartimaeus, but we don't know much. And most people probably didn't know much about him other than the fact that he was blind. He was sidelined from society. He was a marginalized man, a real nobody in their eyes, worth nothing to the world. And if it wasn't for Jesus this day, when Jesus comes traveling through, no one would know anything about blind Bartimaeus. But let's see something, secondly, is that he is a desperate man. He's not only a marginalized man, he is a desperate man, verse 47. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Well, he is a beggar after all. If there's anything he does well, it's beg. You must rely upon other people in your life. You have no other options. To not cry is to not receive help. To not cry is to gain nothing and to not survive. You have nothing, you are nothing in the eyes of other people. More than that, this man, as we're going to see, really was an irritant to people. His crying, his begging is an irritant, something people don't want to hear. The last few weeks, we have discovered there is a rooster in our neighbor's backyard. And it wakes us up every morning. It's an irritant. I haven't told my neighbor that yet. But this man has become an irritant. A rooster is no problem, really. We can deal with that. But what if that's you? What if you are that irritant to others? What if you are an inconvenience to people? Who needs another person, though? Especially now, when this Jesus miracle worker is coming through town, who needs another person to cry out to him? There's already so many people that want his attention. But he was a desperate man, desperate when he heard who was coming to town. It was on this unique day, a day unlike any other day in his life, unlike any other day in Jericho, when on this day, blind Bartimaeus heard Jesus was coming. Jesus, notice, Jesus of where? Nazareth. This is a nobody's town. Nobody great grows up in Nazareth, right? No one great comes from there. But everybody knows this Jesus, though, this miracle worker, this great rabbi, this great teacher who is feeding tens of thousands of people, healing every sickness and issue under heaven. He's from Nazareth. He is identified as Jesus of Nazareth. This is a unique Jesus, a unique man. And so he heard Jesus of Nazareth was coming. He may have been blind, but he could hear. He knew who was in town. Jesus of Nazareth, and this idea of Nazareth or a Nazarene is one anointed and anointed by God. Jesus here is the anointed one of God, as we're going to see in more detail, the Messiah, the King of Israel. But this man, Jesus, is a great, great man anointed by God. The famous Nazarene of the Old Testament is Samson, if you remember. A man of superb strength, spirit-given strength. But here we have a man, Jesus of Nazareth, who is a far stronger man than Samson. Not only with the strength to give sight to the blind, not only the strength to make the cripple walk again, not only the strength to cleanse the leper once and for all, but the strength to save sinners like you and me, like blind Bartimaeus. When blind Bartimaeus heard the story says it was Jesus of Nazareth, the miracle worker, he became desperate. We see here in verse 47. He began to cry out. Imagine what might be going on in his mind at this point. All the stories he's heard about Jesus, the miracles he's performed, reports of his miraculous works, radically healing these people. He's never seen the results himself, but he's heard people talk about the results. Maybe he's heard from some of the eyewitnesses themselves. Maybe some from those who have been healed. He knows who this man is. He knows what he's capable of doing. And hearing was enough for him. That's a good reminder for us. We rely so much upon what we see. This man could not rely upon what he sees. He could only rely upon what he hears. And we must remind ourselves of what Paul says in Romans 10, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Amen. Sounds like a good man ready to be saved. So he becomes desperate. Desperate to get the attention of Jesus before he leaves town. He cries out saying, notice, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David. He's desperate to be healed. This is his chance for his life to change. He cried to the one he knew could help him, to the only one who could help him and rescue him. Not only from blindness, but from being marginalized in society, from being this nobody, this man who people had forgotten, this nobody. So he cries. Jesus tells us in Matthew 5, blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Blessed are those who come to the point of nothing, who see themselves as nothing, who see their sinful, poor condition. Blessed is the person who sees they are in need. Here we have an example of the Sermon on the Mount, of the Beatitudes. One might conclude this man is not blessed, certainly, but he really is blessed because he sees himself as nothing and possessing nothing, and he sees his need to cry out to Jesus. He's on the right path. He's a man with a perfect disposition by the grace of God for salvation. For salvation is for the desperate. Salvation is not for those who have everything. Salvation is not for those who have everything together in their life. Salvation is not for those who think highly of themselves, who have earned some kind of favor with God, which is impossible. Salvation is not for the righteous, but for the unrighteous. And salvation is for the desperate. And he is blessed because he is in the right place to be saved. Desperate, he cries to Jesus. There's a small hope that in the crowds, that in the noise, in the traffic, in the flow of the city, that maybe, just maybe, Jesus will hear him. It's his only chance, so he takes it. So he is a marginalized man, but he is also a desperate man. And he is a persistent man. He is a persistent man. Note what Mark says about blind Bartimaeus in verse 47. When he heard it was Jesus, it says here he began to cry out. That is, he will continue to cry out. He's not going to give up crying out for Jesus. He began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. He continued over and over. Once was not enough. He had to get the attention of this man from the dusty town of Nazareth. Jesus, he says, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. again and again with great persistence, not letting up, not letting go. Winston Churchill in World War II is famous for many sayings. Maybe most famous for saying this, never, ever, 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 ever give up. Now, well, this was blind Bartimaeus' battle plan. Never to give up. He'll cry until Jesus is gone way down the road. He had tenacity. He had determination. He had perseverance. He would not let up. This is his chance, his only chance. He would not give up. No, never. Because he knew who Jesus was. He persisted, but he persisted in faith. Friends, what you're seeing here is genuine faith. For faith, genuine faith, is a persistent faith. The Hebrews writer is trying to demonstrate to you in the book of Hebrews that faith is a persevering faith. Faith is an enduring faith. Just as we might say faith, genuine faith, is a repentant faith, faith, genuine faith, is persistent. Genuine faith doesn't just look to Jesus once. Genuine faith keeps looking to Jesus. And he persists to arrest the attention of this man from Nazareth. But oh, how verse 48 stings. What does it say? And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. Enough. We have heard enough of you. The people don't like his crying. Not only is he not normal to them, he's not human. In his desperation, he has become an irritation to their ears. He's not worthy of Jesus' attention. Stay by the roadside and be quiet. Now he faces two problems. One is he cannot see where Jesus is. Otherwise, he can make a beeline for Jesus. That's what most people would do, pushing his way through. But second, now the people don't want him to get to Jesus. They want him to be silent. So he is rebuked. You may be rebuked for seeking out Jesus. There will be people in your life, you can count on it, that will not like you to pursue Christ. Consider the cost. But you know, there's really no cost for this man. He doesn't have anything. He doesn't have anything to lose, does he? He has no reputation. He's a no one. He had nothing to lose. He was merely a beggar. But instead of begging for money, he begs for the attention of Jesus. And he persists. I love this man. Do you not love him already? He persists against the rebukes, against the crowds, against the noise. How many people want to get to Jesus? That would be a challenge. If he came through today in our town, could you actually get to him? That would be the question. So many people would want his attention. They want him themselves to be healed, their family to be healed, their friends to be healed. And he persists the more. I love it. It records after their rebukes, verse 48, he cried out all the more. It was fuel for him. You can't silence this man. He can't see, but he can speak. Son of David, have mercy on me. I'm sure much louder than I'm doing. He cried out all the more. I want Jesus. I will not give up until I have Jesus. I must have him. He might be a marginalized man and he might be a desperate man, but he is a persistent man. Let's notice a fourth characteristic about blind Bartimaeus. He is a faith-filled man. Notice what he says. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He says it twice. Friends, this is significant. A blind beggar, an irritant to our ears, is calling him the Son of David. no one else in Mark's gospel calls Jesus the Son of David. So he knew his Old Testament. He knew the scriptures. He may not be able to see, but he can hear the reading and the teaching of the scriptures in the synagogue. He knew that one would come, the Son of David, prophesied even as early as Genesis chapter 3, who would be the king of Israel. According to 2 Samuel 7, the Son of David, the Messiah who would reign over Israel. More than that, would reign over the world in his kingdom. He would sit upon David's throne forever and ever. He would reign over all the nations, reigning over a literal, physical, geographical kingdom upon the earth that he created. The gospel accounts, as you've already seen, are a foreshadow of this. People will be healed. He will be able to control the weather. He will transform the world when he comes to reign over his kingdom. Oh, blind Bartimaeus, he knows all of this. He's excited. He's ready for this. He believes Jesus is the Son of David. Here, my friends, is an amazing thing. A blind man who can see. A blind man who can see who Jesus is. A blind man who can see what no one else can see. A man that gives Jesus that everyone else had forgotten. Truly, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:26, speaking to us, "For consider your calling, brothers, not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong." Who professes faith? Who sees Jesus of Nazareth not just as a good teacher and miracle worker, but as the Son of David himself? It's blind Bartimaeus. It's the weak. It's the helpless that have faith. He does not yet see Jesus, though, as the Son of God. He will, as the disciples will eventually. Blind Bartimaeus must have known Isaiah 35. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 35. There are so many wonderful passages that anticipate the coming of the Messiah. They don't always distinguish for us his first and second coming. But here in Isaiah 35, we see it fulfilled in Mark. It says here that verse 4, "Be strong, fear not, to the anxious of heart, behold your God. He will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy." Here he knows this is taking place among the people of Israel. He knows this is the Son of David. This is the prophesied Messiah. This is that man. James Edwards writes this: "What Bartimaeus lacks in eyesight, he makes up for insight." So what does blind Bartimaeus do? He cries out. He calls to him, "Jesus, Son of David." I believe he's trying to get his attention, not merely by crying, but by addressing the title Son of David. That should stand out from the rest of the crowd. So does it get Jesus' attention? What do you think? Turn with me back to Mark chapter 10, verse 49. It says, "And Jesus stopped." Those are great words. Just think about it. Imagine it. He can't see that. But Mark records, Jesus stopped. The Son of David stopped. The King of Israel, the Son of Joseph, stopped. He stopped for a blind man somewhere in the crowd. The people may rebuke him, but the Son of David does not rebuke him. He stops. And the rebukes ceased like the wind and the waves. Notice what Jesus says. Call him. And they called the blind man, saying to him, take heart, get up. He is calling you. Literally, they say, cheer up. That's the idea there. Cheer up. You know, come down. It's your turn. Come on down. Your opportunity. Cheer up and get up. You have an audience with the king. He's heard you. He wants you. If you do not know Christ, hear the call of Christ through the gospel. Jesus says in Matthew 11:28, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Are you laboring in your sin, heavy laden with guilt? We were just singing here. What can wash away my sin? There will be nothing you will find in this world that can wash away your sin apart from the man, the Son of David, Jesus himself. Go to him at once. Follow the example of blind Bartimaeus and cry out to Christ. He will hear you. He will stop. I love that this man here arrests the attention of Jesus, the Son of David. And Jesus stopped. Be encouraged. It's a simple faith in Christ. This man has a simple faith, one that just has enough strength to cry out to him. And blind Bartimaeus is a faith-filled man. He has faith that Christ, the Messiah, the Son of David, the one prophesied in Samuel and in Isaiah, is there that day, and it's found in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. The irony of this story is that the man who could not see was the only one who could really see with the eyes of faith. So he's a marginalized man. He's a desperate man. He is a persistent man. He is a faith-filled man. Finally, he is a transformed man. Take heart, they tell him. Get up. He is calling you. Verse 50. And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and he came to Jesus. Let me finish the account. Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? We recognize that question, do we not? And the blind man said to him, Rabbi, let me recover my sight. And Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. I love this. Verse 50, throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. I assume people are helping him. Define Jesus. Maybe he's just going. People will help direct him. He'll get there. But he gets up. He springs up. What a moment. You can visualize it. By the way, there's some good sanctified visualization that you should be doing here. This is why God gives you these details. Having sat by the roadside each and every day, he finally gets up. No, he springs up like my children do immediately after sitting for hours. I don't know how they do that. It takes more time as you get older to spring up. But he springs up as if nothing else mattered. He throws his cloak, probably the only thing he owned, possibly. And he came to Jesus. Those are sweet words here. Amen. He came to him, and that changed everything in his life. For he would be changed not only on the outside, but he would be changed in the inside. James and John, remember, had come to Jesus. Now it's blind Bartimaeus. James and John had come to Jesus, and Jesus asked them, what do you want me to do for you? Now blind Bartimaeus has come to Jesus, and Jesus asked him the same question. What do you want me to do for you? James and John had come to Jesus and answered Jesus' question by requesting power and great glory. Blind Bartimaeus, however, comes to Jesus and answers Jesus' question by requesting merely to see. James Edwards says, whereas the sons of thunder ask for extraordinary glory, Bartimaeus asks only for ordinary health. What do you want me to do for you? His answer is simple. I only want to be human. He doesn't ask for power. He doesn't ask for money or for success or fame. He doesn't ask for glory. He asked to be normal because he wasn't used to that. He wants to see like everyone else. It's a reasonable request, isn't it? A humble, modest request by this beggar. His humility, his modesty show his genuine faith. And his humility and what he thinks he deserves, which is nothing, is contrasted to James and John, who think they deserve great glory. I think Mark is saying, this is your example here. Not one of the 12, we wish, but blind Bartimaeus, that beggar, that nuisance on the roadside, he's the man of faith. He's the man we look to and we follow his example. Rabbi, he says. Now, this is a different word typically than normal rabbi. This is a word used for not just teacher, but often used for God as the teacher. So he has a very high reverence for Jesus. Rabbi, let me recover my sight. I don't know if his hands were trembling with excitement and fear. This is his moment. Standing before the Son of David. Paul often uses the phrase fear and trembling. He tells the Corinthians, I came with fear and trembling. He tells the Philippians, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. I would imagine he's in fear and trembling. I know I would be if before me is the Creator, the Son of David, the Messiah, the King of Israel. He's here. Let me recover my sight. He's begged for money his entire life. Now he begs to see. Unlike the first blind man's healing, which was done through touch, Jesus merely says a word. It says, and Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight. No, take this twice every day for 2 weeks. Immediately. At once, now he can see the lilies of the field that Jesus talks about. Now he can see the golden colors of a sunrise. Now he can see his friends, if he has them. He can see his own hands. I assume he first saw, when his eyes were opened, he first saw his Savior, his Creator. To have the first thing you see is the Son of David. Mark uses the word recovered. That word not only means healing, it means to be saved. And I believe Mark is saying here, he's not just healed, he's saved. He's a new creation. He's transformed now. Not only is he healed on the outside, he's healed on the inside. He is now born again. He is a living creation in Christ. He is saved just as much as the thief on the cross will be. And notice what Mark says at the very ending. After immediately recovering his sight, what did he do? What would you do? If you can see now, oh, there's so much to do. There's so many places to go. People might have told him, now's your chance to make something of yourself. Now you don't have limitations anymore. It's up to you. You could be a successful person now. You could become famous. Take your chance. But instead, what does he choose to do? Mark says he followed him on the way. Isn't that great ending of the story? Blind Bartimaeus, once a beggar, now with his eyes open, with the opportunity to do anything, he wants to continue being with Christ. And he follows him. And notice on the way. That is language Mark loves to use. On the way. That's the entire gospel of Mark. On the way. Where? To the cross. That's where Mark's taking us. And so this man, now that he can see, he's going to follow Jesus all the way into enemy territory, into Jerusalem, to Calvary. Blind Bartimaeus is no longer blind Bartimaeus. He is now Bartimaeus. More importantly, he's a follower of Jesus the Son. All because Jesus stopped. Let it be true of you what became true of Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus had been blind, but now he can see. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Let's pray. Lord, your love and your compassion, the tenderness of your heart, is seen here as you stop. As you stop among the crowds, the pushing, the yelling, the crying, and you heard this poor, lonely, blind beggar crying out to you. What hope that gives us, Lord. No matter who we are, no matter where we are, no matter where we've come from, we're really no better than a blind beggar. But Lord, you can hear us. You hear when we cry to you. You are the great Savior. You did not come to save the righteous. You came to save the unrighteous. Those who have nothing, those who are nothing. Lord, we thank you for the text. We thank you for Bartimaeus and what you did in his life. Lord, would you change our hearts? Would you draw us to yourself? Will you help us to throw off our cloak, to come to you and to follow you? We pray in your name. Amen.